Dave Moore on Today FM.
I've Jeremiah Freight's with me. He is from Lumineers. You know them well. They're playing in Cork's Virgin Media Park on Thursday, June 25th. It's going to be an unbelievable show. Have you spent much time in the southern? That's where Cork is, the southern part of Ireland. Have you spent time there before?
Yes. I feel like every time the Lumineers come to Ireland, it's always amazing. And I feel like, honestly, Ireland was one of the first countries to really blow up for us outside of the States. So Ireland's always felt like a second home to us.
When a country like that then has a connection for you guys, you know, how does that affect how you approach the show? Is it just, look, Lumineers doing the same Lumineer show, whether it's in Vancouver, or whether it's in Cork, or whether it's in Thailand, or is it genuinely different between each one?
I think that, and I say this with an endearing sentimentality, we have a song called Charlie Boy, and there's something about it that we always make sure to play in Ireland. We just feel like, to your point, it feels like Irish music. It's like Charlie Boy. Like, it just has this, like, it has this flavor about it that we always make sure. We don't play that every night when we're doing a tour, but we always make damn sure to play it in Ireland because it does feel like a staple when we're there. And we always know it's going to be a great show. The enthusiasm from the Irish fans, the sonic feedback you get. And that's important to a band because you create a sort of positive feedback loop when you're on stage. You know, you're performing, you're giving it your all. And when you see fans giving it their all and sometimes crying or screaming the lyrics back at you, and you want to give more. And, you know, it's always been like that with Ireland. So it's been great. Yeah.
That's so cool because, I mean, look, I've spoken to a lot of people, you know, artists around the world who've toured wherever, and they do talk about some countries where the enthusiasm is no less than it is in Ireland, but there is a politeness. There's a we'll wait for you to perform the song. We will be utterly silent and still. And then when you're finished, we'll go rapturously wild. But whereas in Ireland, everyone's involved in every part of everything.
I agree. And I think that there's something very, there's a specific flavor, a specific DNA when performing in Ireland. And it's all those things that we've just talked about where it really does feel like, if I remember correctly, when COVID was happening and all the venues were shutting down. And then there was that sort of weird in-between phase of venues were opening and all the regulations were different vastly per country.
Yes.
Germany were actually, the country of Germany, like the government were paying artists not to show up to their country because they really wanted to, you know, keep COVID out and you
sure.
know, all that. But I remember Ireland, I think it was the first show back, I think at that arena, in Dublin,
maybe. Right? Yeah,
and it was like a Sunday, and we were like, you know, COVID is sort of weird, and it's Sunday in Ireland. It's not going to, you know, unfortunately, it's on a Friday or Saturday, and it was such a crazy. There was like 7,000 people on the show, and it just was really mental, and it was really like, hey, I don't want to speak illly of the other countries on that tour, but it really was all downhill after that.
Okay. Like,
that set the. I feel like that set the bar too high because.
Yeah,
it just felt, it really felt like the world was opening back up again. And what better place to do that, to reunite with our fans than in Ireland? It really, like, I'm not just saying that, truly, it was a night to remember. That was probably, you know, 5-6 years ago.
Yeah, it would have been. Yeah.
Like, I remember like it was yesterday.
2021, I think. Yeah. And like lockdown and things like that. I mean, they're difficult for lots of people for lots of different reasons and lots of serious reasons, and people lost loved ones and all that kind of stuff. But for acts in particular, and I think for Lumineers, like live is where you guys make those connections with audiences that, you know, can be achieved on record, and people go out and buy your music and live through it and adore it, and maybe never get to see you live for whatever reason. But when you get to see Lumineers live, that's where that kind of feedback loop you're talking about, that happens. And it must have been so difficult, but so great to then get back out on the road and reconnect with your audience again.
I think at some point for me personally, I probably started to take the job and the, I don't want to say I took it for granted, but
sure.
You kind of get, you know, we all do with our jobs.
It's a job, yeah.
Yeah, like at some point, our brains, for better or for worse, have this incredible ability to normalize everything, both good and bad things, and wonderful things in our lives and traumatic things in our lives. We have this ability to sort of to adapt rather quickly to things. And I think that when the traveling was taken away, when the opportunity to perform in front of people was taken away, when that started to come back in like little dribbles and, you know, little spurts here and there, it really was such a joyous thing. And yeah, like, I don't know, I really felt it kind of reinvigorated, reminded me and all the band members and even fans of music, you know, to be able to go to those things again and to just to kind of remember that's like the one thing that AI and technology can't really ever duplicate or replicate or steal is like humans watching humans and sort of that synchronicity that occurs within when you have 10,000, 20,000, yeah. 30,000 people all locked into a moment. That's rare these days. And I feel so fortunate that I get to, you know, whether it's like 90 minutes to 2 hours on stage with no phone and locked into drums or piano, guitar, that's sort of like this incredible moment that, yeah, I don't know. I just, something about COVID really reminded me of all those important things.
And, yeah. Yeah. I think that's maybe one of the positives we can take out of it, you know, that artists and everybody, you know, that we all took our lives for granted in those ways, because as you said, we normalize everything. And all of a sudden when it was taken away, it starts to mean something again to us when it comes back. So look, we're a long way from that, thankfully. And we will see you without masks on June 25th in Cork's Virgin Media Park. Let's talk new music because like the new record is so great. I want to talk about SOS, as I'm calling it. I don't know if that's what you're calling it, but same old song. Is it true that was just a one take video shoot for that song?
Yeah, it was. We did, it was sort of concocted this idea, if we could pull it off in one take, how cool would that be? I think we may have done it two or three, you know,
runs through,
but the one go, the one take. And there was a moment where the director, she wanted me to kind of play the drums.
Is this the roses? Like, I wanted to ask you about this.
Like a bouquet of roses.
Yeah.
So I think we tried real roses and it was one take. So when the camera turned to me, I think like the inertia and like whatever, you know, the roses just snapped
straight away. Like yeah.
They didn't read. And then I think we had some plastic roses that didn't quite have enough. So there was this guy, I feel bad, this poor soul on set. I don't know what his official job was, but between a take, he was like hot gluing real roses and fake plastic roses
to drumsticks. Actual
wooden drumsticks. And he's like in the dark with like a headlamp, like, I'm almost ready, you know? And director's like, where's the roses? You know, so we get those. And I did this one take where I really had to like sell it. And, you know, a lot of the roses sort of, because we didn't have, you know,
an endless supply.
Endless supply of real roses, obviously. So yeah, that was fun. And I think it's kind of spoke to the song to just kind of have some fast paced visual companionship.
It really works. Yeah. Love that. Listen, you are an inspiration. You guys are an inspiration to so many artists who've come after you. And particularly, I think a lot of young singer-songwriters around now will often quote Lumineers as, you know, something that's so important to them. Who were those guys for you when you were coming up in music? Who were the artists that were really inspirational, either who were current at the time or even, you know, going back a little bit? Who were you kind of looking up to?
Chronologically, believe it or not, it's really weird. The first artist I ever fell in love with was actually Beethoven.
Okay.
He like my mom got me this cassette tape. Of course, it wasn't Beethoven recorded on the cassette tape, unfortunately, but it was some dude that performed sonatas, which are just piano performances of Beethoven with like seagulls and like frogs and like nature sounds in the back.
Wow.
So I fell in love with Beethoven. I really fell in love with the melody and stuff. And then I fell in love with Radiohead. That's still probably my favorite band.
Okay.
I got to see them in Bologna, Italy last November.
How was that?
That was life-changing. I mean, you know, there was sort of like, I don't know if it was on purpose, but they sort of had that Oasis effect where they sort of disappeared for a decade.
Yeah.
And then when they, you know, when you sell tickets, people are really chomping at the bit to go see these bands. And I actually got to see Oasis with the Lumineers. We all went to Chicago. As luck had turned out, we were playing the night after them at the stadium.
No way.
It was really odd. We watched them at the stadium in Chicago. That was awesome. But I got to say, Radiohead really blew me away. They're my favorite band. And I think it's just these bands, whether it's Beethoven or whether it's David Gilmour you know, Radiohead. And it's now that I've just turned 40 this year, I think that a quote I really loved was, you know, young artists are just, you're like inspired all the time when you're 17. And then older artists, you have to sort of work to find that inspiration. And I think I really I feel inspired. I still feel capacity of joy and all that stuff. But I do, for the last 20 years, I mean, me and Wes Singer, we started the Lumineers 21 years ago. I think that I've always treated music more like a 9-to-5.
Yep.
With the consistency. It's not like, oh, I need something crazy to happen, or I need to go on an acid trip and find this inspiration. It's
sure.
more just like I show up
yep.
semi-consistently to the piano, to the guitar, and some days are diamonds and some days are rocks, and that's how it goes.
That's the work. Yeah, absolutely. You got to put the work in. You're a professional musician. You got to be professional about it.
Yeah, exactly.
So. Well, we're really glad you are, and we're so glad you guys are coming to see us. Cork's Virgin Media Park on Thursday, June 25th. Lumineers will be there. Jeremiah, thank you so much for taking the time today to talk to me. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks, Dave. This is great.
All right. Thank you so much. See you in June.
All right. See ya.
Bye-bye.
Dave Moore on Today FM.